Psalm 136. And I can't believe it's already Thanksgiving. It's really, really hard to believe that. And I hope that I'm not the only one that just feels like, you know, that the year has flown by. Me and my wife were talking yesterday, and it's like we have been here just almost a year. And it's just really hard to put that all to really think about that. It just does not seem like it's been a year. It's all moving pretty fast. But one of the things I love about this time of the year is it seems like things slow down just a bit in the fall. And maybe just people take a little more time in between the things that they're doing. I don't know what it is. Maybe the snow slows us down a little. But maybe it's the 4,500 calorie meal that we eat that slows us down a little. I don't know what it is, but something about the season tends to slow us down. And I also like the fact that especially for the Christian, and maybe only for the Christian, but it really, our hearts turn toward being thankful. And we ought to be thankful every day that we wake up. I don't care if it's January 1st or March 31st or November when it's Thanksgiving time. We ought to be thankful, but something about this time of year, it really just starts working on our heart, turning us toward being thankful. And so I did look up what the average calorie intake was for the American on Thanksgiving, and it's 4,500 calories. Challenge accepted. Okay? Listen. It's the one day a year. No guilt. Okay? Just put on some stretchy sweatpants and get after it. Right? As unto the Lord, folks, and not unto men, okay? So I say all that. I'm joking a little bit, but I want you to enjoy your Thanksgiving. I mean, really, God has been so good, blessed us. It's just, the only way I can describe it is it's sometimes embarrassing how good God is to us because we don't deserve it. I mean, he's just so good. And so I hope you enjoy this whole week. I hope you have a great time with your family and enjoy that 4,500 calories. And listen, I'm taking it as a challenge, and I'm just going to enjoy it. And so anyway, let's look at Psalm 136, all right? If I go off script too long, we'll get in trouble, okay? 136 Psalm. If you'll stand with me, we'll read this together, and then I'm just going to preach a message I call Give Thanks. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule the night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Father, I pray that you would just work on our hearts to be thankful today. Lord, no matter what situation we're in, no matter what difficulties that we're facing, no matter what trial that we're in or blessing, Lord, wherever we find ourselves today, I just pray that you would tap on our shoulder, tap on our heart. Lord, let us know that we ought to be thankful for you, for your mercy endures forever. I pray you'd work through your word, and Lord, help me as I preach in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I appreciate you standing. Well, what does it mean to be thankful? Well, a good place to start might be the dictionary. I looked up in the Webster's dictionary what it meant to be thankful, and Webster says it's consciousness of the benefit received. Isn't that part of what it is to be thankful? Is just thinking about the fact and understanding and being conscious of the fact that we have received a benefit. It says to be filled with gratitude, to be motivated by thanks, or to be appreciative. And we truly do have much to be thankful for. And again, as I said, when we celebrate Thanksgiving and we look at this week, of course our hearts are saying, oh yes, we're thankful. Oh, we're thankful. But the fact is, and as the psalmist relays here, we ought to be thankful every single day. It's thought that this psalm was written by David and given to Israel to be recited, read, or sung every single day. Let me give you a couple of scriptures for that. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 in verse 40 says, to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord upon the altar of the burnt offering continually, morning and evening, and to do according to all that's written in the law of the Lord, which he commanded Israel. So they're sacrificing morning and evening. And he says, and with them, Heman and Jeduthun, and the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by name, to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. So get this, in 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 41, there were some people, Heman and Jeduthun, and some others that were chosen and expressed by name, and it was their job, while these sacrifices were going on daily, while the sacrifices were going on morning and evening, there was a group of men who it was their job just to thank the Lord. They were just there to give thanks to God and to give praise because his mercy endureth forever. This was not only in the days of Solomon, David, but also in the days of Solomon, a similar thing happened. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 3 and then verse 6 says, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You think those words had been rehearsed with those Israelites over and over and over so that when God did something, they hit their face and they said, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then in verse 6, it says, and the priests waited on their offices, and the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, all Israel stood. So it was praise and thanksgiving was extremely important to the worship of God in the Old Testament. And they were to thank God daily. They were to thank God night and day, all the time, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And so I think if God impressed upon those Old Testament saints who were worshiping God every day, every morning, every night, if he impressed upon them, hey, when you come to worship God, you ought to be thankful to him. You ought to declare that he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. How much more so should we that live on the other side of the cross, who have experienced salvation through Jesus Christ, when we come to worship God, and it shouldn't just be on Thanksgiving, the Sunday before Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Day or in the fall, as I said, we like to do. It should be every single day that we say, no, we are thankful to God, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. In this psalm here, there's a lot in here, and I just want to break it down into a couple of simple parts. First of all, I want you to know who we should be thankful for. Have you ever wondered, as the atheists gather around the table this Thursday, who in the world they're thankful for? I mean, have you ever wondered that? Because all the blessings that come in this world are from one being, God. And so there's an object of our things. There's someone now. Now we should be thankful for one another. We'll get into that. We should be thankful for the people that God has put in our life. But I'm telling you, the ultimate object of our thanks ought to be God. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, there's a principle given, and it's a principle that that God actually uses throughout the scripture, and it's this. Let me just read you the verse and I'll explain it. This is the principle. This is the third time I'm coming to you. Has a parent ever told a child, now listen, this is the third time. What's getting ready to happen? Okay, yeah. Okay, Paul said, this is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. You know, he's saying if something is repeated in the preaching, in the scriptures, if something is repeated by two or three witnesses, that word is established. Okay, so a threefold witness is a very strong witness. Now look at Psalm 136, and let me show you this threefold witness in the first three verses. And it's this, we come to this conclusion, who are we to be thankful to? Well, it is unto the Lord, because the first three verses all identify three times the Lord as the object of thanks. Verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Verse 2, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Verse 3, oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. So the object of our thanks ought to be God. And by the way, the psalmist then concludes the psalm, verse 26, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. And so it's identified in this passage who all of this praise. I mean, he's going to mention all these things. He's going to mention everything from the food that they receive to the victories that they had over Og, king of Bashan. I mean, he's going to list all these things that they're thankful for. But he's saying, let me just be clear, all the thanks, all of it goes to God. It all goes to God. At the end of the day, we are supposed to be thankful to God, to Him. Because He is good. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. What you see in this psalm is the repetitive phrase, and what we see in 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles as they worship the Lord and they recited this psalm. The verse that they constantly recited is this, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. When we gather around the Thanksgiving table, some families, not all families, but some families, before you can eat, you go around and you say what you're thankful for. You know, does anyone in here do that? In our family, that would cause major issues because we're hungry. And no, I'm just kidding. No, that's a good thing to do. That's a good thing to do. And so as you're sitting there, you go around the table, you just say a few things that you're thankful for. I think it's a wonderful tradition, a wonderful thing to do. But let me just tell you, if it came to you, if you're sitting there and you're, you know, it's kind of like when we ask for testimonies and you start thinking, oh boy, what am I going to say? You know, you kind of get nervous. What am I going to say? And, you know, so as it's going around the table and, man, everyone has a good answer, right? You know, Dad over there, he gave us basically a three-point sermon on why he's thankful. And, man, that was good. And then Mom, you know, why she's thankful. And even the kids, it seems like, are coming up with these wonderful things to say. And you're sitting on that, and it's coming to you, and you're going, oh, man, what am I going to say? I mean, it's not that you don't have things to be thankful for, but, you know, what do you say? Can I just tell you this? You could say, I'm thankful for He is good and His mercy endureth forever. If we had nothing else to be thankful for, we can be thankful that He is good. Now, I want to help you to understand what I'm saying. We typically say, well, yes, God is good, right? God is good. Yeah, He's good. And we should say that, by the way. We should express that. God is good. But why do we say God is good? When do we find ourselves saying, oh man, God is so good? You know, the other day the church gave us a half a cow to put in our freezer. You know what I walked away saying? God is good. Why? Because I had received blessings from your hands, but I know that that's God working through you to bless me. And so God is good. Why? Because He's blessed us. Why do we say God is good? Well, because of the blessings that we received, we understand He's done so much for us. And so He is good. But let me just tell you this. If He had never done anything for us, He's still good. Because that's who God is. God is good. In Mark chapter 18, someone came to Jesus and said unto him, and called him master, or good master. And Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And by the way, Jesus wasn't saying that He wasn't good, and He wasn't saying that He wasn't God. He was reaffirming with that man just what He had just said about himself, that he was good and he was God. But Jesus said, there's none good but one, that is God. Just think about this for a second. If I had never received any blessings at all in my life, which I have, but if I had never received any blessings at all, God would still be good because that's his character. That's who he is. And so that helps me because on the difficult days, on the days when I'm not feeling so blessed and I'm not, they're always there. The blessings are always there. But on the days where I'm not necessarily recognizing the blessings because, you know, whatever, I got my coffee a little too late or maybe I'm having a real problem, a real difficulty. On those days, I can know this. No, he's still good because that's who he is. So we praise God, we thank God because he is good. Try to sit for a little bit and meditate on all that God is. You will find that his goodness is never ending. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's ever present. He's mercy. He's truth. He's kind. He's righteousness. He's judgment. He's just. He's love. He's patient. He's long suffering. He's our sacrifice. He's our redemption. He's our hope. And you could sit there and just meditate for a while and just think about all the things about, again, not what he's done for you, but just who he is. And you'll find he's good. But he has done things for us, hasn't he? So we praise him because he's good. But then we must recognize he's the source of all things that are good. So as we're going around that Thanksgiving table, really, no matter what we say, it should all be worded something like this. I praise God because of, and then we just go on with it. Why? Because James tells us every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So every blessing I've ever received, any good that I've ever been offered in my life, I'm going to tell you this, it's because God is good and his mercy endures. I mean, anything good that's ever happened to me, anything good that's ever happened to any man who's ever lived, it's happened to him because of God and his goodness and his mercy. That's the only reason. We're going to get into the mercy in just a second, but we have to understand it's the character of God and he's the source of all things good. The psalmist says in verses 4-9, praises God for the creation. Haven't you ever praised God that he created all that he did? That he created, how about this, that he thought to create you? He didn't have to do that, but he wanted to. And so he created you. And so in verses 4-9, the psalmist is praising him for his creation. And then in verse 10-22, the psalmist is praising him for his protection. And of course, he's an Israelite. And so he's praising him for bringing the nation of Israel out of Egypt and across the Red Sea and smoting Pharaoh. And once they get into that promised land to have them have some victory over their enemies. And he says in verse 17, who smote great kings. And verse 18, who slew famous kings. And he even mentions a couple of them. And so he's thankful not only for the creation, not only what God has done to create, but also his protection. And then in verse 23, look at verse 23 with me. Who remembered us in our low estate? I'm just telling you, I'm so thankful that about 32 years ago, the Lord saw fit to reach down in a little town called Plainview, Texas, where no one knows, everyone knows everyone, but no one knows where that is. But God knew where I was. And God knew that I was a sinner, and God knew that I needed to be saved. And so he reached down and in my low estate took notice of me. And he sent his spirit to draw me in. And he sent a preacher to preach the word. And he sent parents to raise me up knowing the gospel. And there was a day where the Lord reached down and he heard my prayer of salvation and he saved me. He came to us in our low estate. Listen, if you're saved this morning, we can praise God because he's good. If he never did anything for us, but he's done something for us. He saved us. I mean, he reached out. We didn't, for his mercy endureth forever. We didn't deserve it. It wasn't because we were so good. It wasn't because we were righteous. It wasn't because we had any ground to stand on with him. It was because he loved us and he reached down and he sent his son, and his son became flesh and dwelt among us, and his son humbled himself. Jesus, it says in Philippians chapter 2, humbled himself, became obedient even to the death of the cross. Why did he do that? Because he loved us, and he was made the propitiation, the payment, the appeasement, the atonement for your and my sin. And I'm thankful. He came to us in our lowest state. If you're here this morning and you're breathing air, he came for you too. I mean, every person on the face of the earth, he came, he sacrificed for. He's paid for your sins. The Bible teaches us that all men will come to the end of their time and they'll have a judgment with God. The question is, will your sin be judged on Calvary by Jesus Christ, or will you go through that judgment alone? And here's the thing, you don't have to go through it alone. Jesus has already paid for all the sin. He's already judged all the sin. He's already taken the penalty that was appointed unto us. He died in your place, and he died in my place. And so if you're here this morning and you're still sitting there wondering if you're going to be in heaven with Christ or in hell someday paying for your sins for eternity, I'm telling you, Jesus made a way by which you can go to heaven through his son, through the cross. He came to us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. What does it take to be saved? Well, it kind of takes getting to the end of yourself, realizing you can't do it, and just coming to Jesus on his terms, understanding that, hey, I'm a sinner. I've got nothing to offer here. I may not even understand it, but the Bible tells me that you love me, that you died for me, that you rose from the dead, and you want to forgive me of my sins. It comes to Christ knowing that truth, believing that truth, and calling out to him for salvation. Everyone ought to accept the offer of salvation. It confuses me when people don't want to accept the free gift of salvation. Why would you want to walk away from a holy God who can't overlook sin, but has made a way to forgive you of your sin? Why would you want to walk away from a God who loves you and wants to accept you into his family and save your soul eternally and then help you in your life? Why would you walk away? He looked to us in our low estate. Verse 25, the psalmist praises him for provision, who giveth food to all flesh. For his mercy endureth forever. You know, anything you've ever ate, God gave it to you. God gave it to you. So he's the object of our thanks. It's God that we ought to be praising. It's God that we ought to be thankful for. Why? Because he's good. And because he's the source of all things good. But the psalmist goes a lot farther to let us know that another reason we ought to be thankful. He says it 26 times in the psalm. You probably caught on as we were reading. Every single verse ends with the phrase, "For his mercy endureth forever." It'd be hard to make the case that this chapter was about anything other than God's mercy and the fact that we need to be thankful for it. What is mercy? Well, mercy is... people will say something like this. I'm trying to think of a way that'll illustrate the point right. I heard an interview one time where a guy was talking about God, and he was not a believer. Okay, if I said the name, you'd know the name. But he's not a believer, and he was giving this interview. And he said, when I meet God, I'm finally going to get all that I deserve. Because I've done this and this. I've given this much money to this and that. And he starts listing off these things. And he says, when I meet God, I'm going to finally get all I deserve. And his thought in his heart was that he's not getting what he deserves here. And he may not have worded it that exact way, but I just remember the interview and him saying that. And I thought, you better hope not. That's what I thought. When you meet God, you better hope that you don't get all you deserve. Because mercy is not getting what you do deserve, right? Grace is me getting something I don't deserve. God's grace, he gives me something that I didn't work for, that I can't earn, that I don't deserve. He gives that to me. Well, mercy is withholding something that I do deserve. What I deserve? Well, apparently, according to the scriptures, I deserve eternity in the lake of fire for my sins. That's what I deserve. So that's pretty harsh. Well, God gave us rules. We broke them. What do we deserve? The wages of sin is death. So what I deserve is an eternity in the lake of fire. That's it. That's all I deserve. That's a sum total of what I deserve. That's it. Our world is just inundated right now with all this entitlement. Like, we deserve everything. We deserve this. We deserve this treatment. We deserve this. No, we don't. We don't deserve anything. If you're a human being in Adam's race, you deserve hell for your sin. You say, this is a great encouraging message for Thanksgiving. Here's what I'm saying. Be thankful unto him, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I'm thankful for his mercy. Here's what I'm saying. I'm thankful that I don't get what I do deserve. Every single thing the psalmist listed, he ends it with, for his mercy endureth forever. Why am I experiencing this, God? Because he's merciful. I don't deserve it. Why did he work to create the way he created? Because he's merciful. Why did he work and take Israel out of Egypt and bring them to the promised land? Because he's merciful. Why did he look at us in our low estate and save us? Because he's merciful. Why does he provide food for us? Because he is merciful. We are blessed, and we don't deserve it. His mercy endureth forever. I don't deserve to get up Thursday morning and eat 4,500 calories. I don't deserve that. But his mercy. Thankfully, I don't get what I do deserve. I was telling this to our Sunday school class. I really understand words when I start looking at the opposite. And so when I want to know what I deserve or what his mercy is, I kind of start looking at, well, what is it that I should get? What is it that I do deserve? And all I can find in the Bible is like something like this, Psalm 86:13, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Well, he's merciful because he delivered my soul from hell. In Romans 3, I read that there's none righteous, there's none that understand it, there's none that seek it after God. We're all unprofitable, we're all gone out of the way. We're all like sheep that are scattered, right? There's no good, there's no, not one. The Bible says we've all may become guilty before God, for all have sinned and come short of his glory. Why am I thankful? Because I deserve nothing, and yet God has blessed beyond measure. You can kind of feel what the psalmist is saying. He's listing all these things and, you know, just thinking about all the things we're thankful for. Why are we thankful? Because we don't deserve them. They're just God's mercy. The food that we eat, the family we enjoy, the car we drive, the warm house that we have, the air that we breathe, it's all by God's mercy. And I know grace, he's given us things we don't deserve, but he's also withholding things from us that we do deserve. I'm thankful. So what should our thanks look like, okay? If we're thankful, what should it look like? Well, David instructed Israel by this psalm and others, and then you see him in his time as a king, to praise God verbally. So if we understand that we are to praise God, because he is good, because he's the source of all good things, and because his mercy is great. So you've covered everything there. He is good. He's God. He's the source of all good things, all blessings, all graces, all things that are given to us that we didn't work for. He's that. And then he's merciful. He's withholding everything that we don't that we do deserve. He's so good. And so we've understood then, okay, we're to be thankful to him. What does it look like? There was never a time... I say never. Never is not a good word. In the scriptures, whenever praise and thanksgiving is being done, it's always being done from somebody's lips first. All right? So to praise him with our mouth. Of course, he's given them this psalm to sing. Sing this song to the Lord. For why? Why should I do that? For he is good, his mercy endureth forever. There's something in us that when someone does something nice for us, or when someone, when we've been blessed in some way, there's a need to say thank you, right? There's a need to verbalize that. Wouldn't it be weird to live in a society where you did things for one another and no one ever said thank you? No one ever expressed thank you? And how do you feel when you do something for someone and they don't say thank you? Do you do the something for someone again? Well, I don't know. It just kind of depends, right? Sometimes I'll do something for someone and it's just like such a small thing. It's like nothing. It's like so small. And before you know it, they show up with a thank you card, you know? And I read the thank you card. I think, this is the nicest thing anyone's ever written about me. And I honestly, in my mind, I think, should I write a thank you card for this thank you card? I really do. It's a struggle. Where does it end? You know, because there's just something in you like, oh my goodness, this is so nice. I need to write this person a thank you card for their thank you card. There's just something in us that just wants to say thank you. Last week, my daughter came up and she gave me this little note right here. And, you know, as all good dads do, when their kids give them something, they go, oh, thanks, that's really sweet, honey. And give them a hug and you stick it in your Bible and you don't even look at it. That's what I did last week. I'm confessing before all. And this morning I was going over my notes and this thing slipped out of the side of my Bible. And I thought, what's that? I had all but forgotten about it. I pulled it out and there's some crazy little critters drawn on here. But it says, to Jeremy, this is for my daughter. Thanks, Dad, for what you've done. There's something in us that we, if we're thankful, we want to express it. We want to say thank you. I think about that passage, and it's all this time of year, especially in thinking of Thanksgiving, it always hits me, that passage in Luke 17 where Jesus was in Samaria, and he went through this village, and there were these 10 lepers. You know, and all of them were like literally doomed to death from this disease. And separated from their families and separated from the city because of their leprosy. And they come to Jesus and Jesus heals them all. He heals all of them. And each one, they get up and they take off. I'm healed. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this great? The Bible says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Just one of them. One of them said, something, I've got to say thank you here. Something has happened here. And what was Jesus' response? Well, the man was blessed. I'll show you that in a second. But his response before he dealt with the man, he said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now, did Jesus know where the 9 were? Oh, yeah. But what's he doing? He's making a point. 9 out of 10 in that story weren't thankful. You see, when someone does something for us here on earth, there's something in us, oh, we better say thank you. We better say thank you. I mean, that was a nice gesture. And so we write a card or we tell them verbally thank you a couple of times, whatever the case. But how many of us every day experience tremendous blessings from God and we never turn back? Just say thank you. How many days of your life have passed where you didn't thank God? I'm going to tell you right now, there's a few in mine. More than a few. Where we've gone the whole day. Maybe we even prayed. But our prayer was, Lord, I need this. I need that. I need that. How many days have we gone and not thanked God? And Jesus is going, now, weren't there 10? we know we're supposed to verbalize it, but when it comes to God, I'm telling you, we forget. Hebrews 13, 15 says, by him, therefore, through Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. The Bible tells us we're to be continually thanking God with our lips. Thank God. Praise God. Thank God. So we praise him with our mouth. Secondly, we can praise him with our conduct, our living. Someone said, I'm not going to steal this because it's really corny, but they said, thanksgiving is thanks living. Some of you might want to put that on a pillow at home. But it's true. If we're thankful, it'll cause us to live a little bit differently, wouldn't it? Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, so not just what you say, but what you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And again, you say, well, what does it look like to live thankfully? Well, here I go again, making something positive negative. What does it look like to live unthankfully? Because then it'll help us to know what it means to live thankfully, right? Well, when I'm not thankful, I complain. When I'm not thankful, I'm not content. When I'm not thankful, I'm not praising with my mouth. When I'm not thankful, I'm not concerned with what God wants me to do and what he doesn't want me to do. In Romans 1, it says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. If we're thankful to God, we will live like it. We will live for him. We will be willing to serve him. We will be willing to be obedient to him. I have trouble with a Christian who says he's thankful to God, but yet he's living like the world. I struggle with that. A thankful Christian is one who's recognizing where all these blessings are coming from, understanding we do not deserve any of it. Therefore, I'll just do whatever he wants me to do. I'll just live the way he wants me to live. If he tells me to be content, I'm just going to be content. If he tells me to be whatever it is. Why? Because I'm, as Paul said, I'm constrained by the love of Christ. He's done so much for me that we should live for him. So we praise him with our mouth. We praise him with our living. Lastly, this morning, we should praise him with our resources. Don't get nervous. I'm not going to talk about giving. But I'm going to tell you this. If we're thankful, we will be givers. If I'm thankful to my wife and the things that she does, I'm going to give her to her, right? I'm going to give to her. I'm going to make sure that she knows that she's appreciated by the way I talk, by the way I live. But then in my giving to her, you say, what give? Well, sometimes it may be a gift. But a lot of time, it's just time. A lot of times it's just attention. A lot of times it's just putting her first and doing something for her that maybe she was going to do and I knew she was going to do, so I'm just going to do that for her. Giving, if I'm thankful. By the way, I always preach hard at husbands because I are one. But wives, it's a two-way street. Yeah? If we're thankful for our husband. See, this is why it gets weird. If you're thankful for your husband, well, you serve one another. Serving is just giving. That's what it is. You serve one another. So if we're thankful to the Lord, well, yeah, I mean, he'll have our pocketbook. That's the easy one. But he'll also have our not just our money, but our family time, our time together, our resources. He'll have our spiritual gifts. He'll have our service. He'll have us if we're thankful. So this week, before you sit down and in front of that 4,500 calorie plate, can you remember this? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Father, I thank you for all that you've done. Lord, we could start now praising you and thanking you for everything you've done for us and who you are. And Lord, we could go until you return. You've been so good. And there's so much that we have to be thankful for. Lord, I pray that just through this psalm and through your word, that our hearts would be, Lord, just that our hearts would be mindful of all that you've done, and help us to be thankful people, not just with what we say, but how we live and what we do and how we serve you. Lord, I ask that you'd bless the remainder of the day and that you bless this time of invitation. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand with me? Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. This morning I've talked about how Christ sacrificed himself for us. And I'm just telling you, if you're in the room this morning, he's sacrificed for you. He died for you. And if you don't yet know Jesus as your Savior, during this time of invitation, I would just encourage you to have the courage to step out, come forward, and learn how you might be saved today. Learn how you could accept Christ. You could accept that gift he's given you. And then for those of us who know the Lord this morning, if it's been a while since you've told him thank you, it'd be a good time just to bow your head and hit a knee if needed and just tell him thank you. And so as Ms. Michelle plays this morning, we'll give you a time of invitation. Well, amen. Before we go, just a couple of announcements. 2 o'clock for our church family, we have our Lord's Supper service. So meet us back here at 2. Don't miss it. And we'll just have it be a shorter service this afternoon. The whole point of it will be to gather and, as the Bible says, commune with the body and blood of the Lord through the Lord's Supper. So we're looking forward to that at 2 o'clock. The only other announcement that is in our near future is this week we do not have a Wednesday service. So if you show up Wednesday, prepare a message, because you will need to preach it. I won't be here Wednesday. But we are moving the service to Tuesday, and we're going to have our Thanksgiving dinner together. And so you can bring whatever kind of Thanksgiving food you want to eat. I'm bringing a couple of turkeys. And so whatever you want to add to that, bring it Tuesday at 7 o'clock. We will actually have the whole service downstairs. We're going to meet down there. We'll eat a meal together, and then we're going to spend some time singing praise to the Lord and some time in testimony praising the Lord. And so it'll be a great time. And so that's Tuesday. So again, Lord's Supper at 2, service Tuesday at 7 will be our praise service. And so bring food for that. And then I think that is all the announcements. You're dismissed. We'll see you at 2.